but you know, one of the things that interests me is the seemingly totally different worlds that you and I live in, Mr. Sapp. For example, you told this hearing last September that in America, quote, there is a tendency to hide sex, unquote. That is the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard. Sex is everywhere in America. It's on TV, radio, videos, advertising. What do you mean we hide sex in America?
You do hide sex in America because it, given the choice between putting erotic sex into a television show or putting violence, usually it is the violence that is opted
for. How about both?
Putting both in?
Yeah.
Or you mean in combination?
Well, I mean both. I mean the television is full of sex right now.
It's not really sex. It's just it's full of titillation.
How about advertising? Is that full of sex?
It's titillation.
I see.
Mr. Zappa, when somebody mentioned the videos, you said, hey, no, this is not it. But why don't you want to talk about the videos?
The reason I don't want to talk about the videos is the issue came up over the lyrics.
Nipples on my titties, big as the end of my thumb. I got something between my legs, I'll make a dead man come. Oh, daddy, baby, won't you shave them dry?
No, no, no.
Want you to grind me, baby, grind me until I cry. Say I fucked all night and all the night before, baby. And I feel just like I want to fuck some more. Oh, great God, daddy, grind me, honey, and shave me dry. And when you hear me holler, baby, I want you to shave me dry. I got nipples on my titty, big in my thumb. Daddy, you say that's the kind of woman you want, and you can make them come. Oh. Daddy, shave me dry. And I give you something, baby, where it'll make you cry. I'm gonna turn back my mattress and let you oil my springs. I want you to grind me, daddy, till the bell do ring. Oh, daddy, want you to shave me dry. Oh, great God, daddy, if you can't shave them, baby, won't you try? Now, fucking was a thing that would take me to heaven. I'd be fucking in the studio till the clock's back level. Oh, daddy, daddy, shave them dry. I would fuck you, baby, honey, I'd make you cry. Now your nuts hang down like a damn bell clapper, and your dick stands up like a steeple. Your goddamn asshole stands open like a church door, and the crab walks in like people. Ow! Oh, shit! Woo! Baby won't shave him dry. A big sow gets that from eating cone, and a pig gets fat from sucking. When you see this poor fat like I am, glad God I got fat to fuck. Damn right. My back is made of whalebone, and my cock is made of brass. And my fucking is made for working men $2, red garden round to kiss my ass. Oh! Woo! Daddy, shave me right.
So let me just start off by saying it turns out JJ is not able to make it right now. And Guillaume, did you get the impression that, like, I don't know, should we, well, whatever. So I guess the really question for all of us to try and figure out is, do we want to try and reschedule, or do we want to just go ahead?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Honestly, Gigi has been working, I think, really good on his blog post. So I really feel like missing him would be too bad for the show.
Yeah, I concur.
Yeah, and that was something. Yeah, he was gonna have a like a written thing that mm-hmm. we could at least discuss his perspective.
Yeah, but, he already has something that is readable, you know.
Well, so here's a question. We're all around. There's so much to do this week that I wouldn't mind if we just pushed it to another time. But David, we kept sort of rescheduling on you.
I don't care. As long as it's at a time when I'm available, yeah, I'll do another one. It's weird watching your icon, Alan, because I keep wanting the mouth to move.
That's really funny.
Plus, it doesn't stop anymore, you know, because before he was taking the time to make it stop sometimes, you know, so that it fits to the dialogue you have.
You noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to put a lot of work into matching the mouth up, and then at some point I was just like, fuck it. I just recorded 1 minute of mouth moving, like, so I have a... It's the first thing I do is I edit 1 minute of just mouth moving with whatever background or whatever. And then mm-hmm. I just take that clip and I just reuse it throughout the... Every time I need him to talk, I just throw that clip in there. And it just speeds up the process.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. All right.
Well, yeah. Bill just sent me a message saying... he said... I really like, he said, I love the sync of the breaking news on Sync Quick News and the title of Always Record episode 109, which both were like the same day. So I called Always Record Midnight Ramble and then the Sync Quick News, like the whole like getting closer to midnight. And I didn't even realize that.
I never struck me, that's another pun, that... Watchmen could be taken as the watch, like the clock. It implies a clock.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So who watches the men who are watching the clock, basically?
Have you ever read the comics?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a friend who had, you know, them all together. I don't know if they were originally all together, if it was just a graphic novel or she just had that, but...
No, it was 12 issues of a comic, like a limited series. But
God, I wish I could smoke indoors.
I know, right?
Fuck.
I haven't been able to in over a year and a half, 2 years now, and it drives me crazy. Yeah,
my landlord wouldn't stand for it, but man, just crack open this window here. That'd be nice, especially when you're doing radio. There's something classic about that. Wasn't there like a Jeff Bridges movie where he was... Oh, no, that is fucking Fisher King, right? No. Ooh. No, that was something else. Duh.
In Fisher King, Jeff Bridges is a radio host.
Oh, okay, never mind. I was right. Yeah, he's like doing the radio thing and he's got the cigarette and it's like there's something so fucking nostalgic and classic about that.
So... So what do you guys want to do? Do you want to, Guillaume, it's like pretty late for you.
It is, yeah, a bit, but I don't care. But yeah, it would be better if we reschedule. But I'm free if you need me for anything.
Like, do you want to, should, like, maybe me and you can just jump into other work? Or is there anything we can be doing tonight? Have you guys both seen this, the about page that I was doing? I know, Guillaume, I saw your comments. David, did you see it?
No, I don't think so. Is it on the administrator's page?
It is. So you could find it by going to thesyncbook.com/about.
Wow, I really love it. It's perfect.
Yeah, I feel like it's. I feel pretty darn good about it. Like I said, I still need to keep going.
That's
good. Looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I like what you've done here. Okay, but what is Sync?
Hmm.
Sink is a four-letter word. Like a touch of Grammaton. Cool. I had this person I don't know very well these days, who I used to know years ago, who's friends with me on Facebook, and he, like, the other night, he just started messaging me, like, just talking crazy shit to me about, like, basically stringing together of ideas and how meaningless it is and how no one listens to you. And I was like, it put me into a weird position where I had to, like, I'm like, I'm trying to give him links to things that I work on because he has no idea what I do. He just see, all he sees is my Facebook posts on my personal wall, you know. He's like, you're fucking crazy. Fuck you. I'm like, okay. Well, you know, like, people listen to me.
Oh, he contacted you to say that he
thought talk a bunch of shit to me, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
Whatever. It's fine. It was just, I'm looking at this and I'm like, yeah, you know, it's a legitimate area. It's weird to have to, like, explain yourself at all, you know, in the first fucking place, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, like, I was really trying to, you know, walk that fine line, but I think maybe a little bit of that is to say, like, look, at least give someone the open door.
Right.
Is what I'm trying to do.
This is awesome. Yeah, good job.
So I'm going to flush out these three sections here, one on myths, one on media, and one on the, you know, mindscapes, which will sort of just be like a kind of wrap-up thing. So I still want to flesh out these sort of three sections. But you know, like, some people have, you know, taken issue with trying to define it, and it's like, look, I'm not trying to whatever. I think, you know, like I said, there's no ill intent here. Rather, it's trying to give people an open door. I guess my, you know, I just kind of wanted some input from other people if there was something that you see that's obviously missing or something that you take issue with that.
Yeah, there's something missing. It's my videos.
But if I'm not mistaken, the Sync Book was made exactly for the same purpose, no?
Mm-hmm, exactly. So, David, you know, you can, if you have any videos, use that Dropbox, please.
I've been trying. They keep on not working. It tells me like 14 hours, and then they just shut down when it's in the process. So, I don't know why.
Like, even doing one at a time?
Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, I guess they're, you know, some of the videos are like, you know, over a gigabyte, so.
Because, did you just delete the RAW? The RAW?
What's that?
The originals, you deleted them after uploading.
No, I have some of the MP4s. But yeah, even when I put in the MP4 and not an AVI, it's still not transferring. So it's okay. Kind of annoying. I don't know. I'll try. I'll keep trying. Yeah, well, I was paying $10 a month to Vimeo. So for Vimeo Plus.
What do you have with Vimeo Plus? It's more space? What is it?
Oh, well, it's like, I forget. It's a weekly thing. Every week you get more gigabytes. But when they shut it down, I actually wasn't paying for Vimeo Plus, and I wonder if that was part of it. If I was paying, maybe they would have not been so strict on that. But.
And so I didn't follow the story, but... Did they told you that you could get back your videos or some?
They told me that they just terminated my account. So they said you can fight it, but if you fight it, you're liable to all of this shit.
Uh-huh.
Which is weird. But
Say it again, if you fight it, what?
You're liable to court proceedings and all kinds. They threaten you.
Really?
Yeah. which never happened. So it happened twice before, and they put the videos back up, and then this time they terminated the whole account, which they hadn't done before. They'd just taken down the videos. So, yeah, I didn't receive that threat before. That wasn't part of it. But now they're saying if you fight it and it turns out that it's not correct, you're liable to some stuff.
Yeah, but, you know, they are becoming so big that I don't see how they could. They must have some pressure, you know.
Yeah, something's happening right now. Something's happening in our world, and you're... Yeah.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Same sense.
Currently at the forefront of it, but I don't think it'll be long before, you know, it's weird. It's like the fucking Untouchables or something with America. But I don't think that that's going to last. It's bullshit. It's a big fucking scam. A bunch of Nazis.
Oh, yeah.
Nazis that's... running the world. There were Nazis, Walter? Well, come on, Donnie. They were threatening castration.
But yeah, that's crazy. Just before, I was watching a TV show, and they were exactly addressing people having doubts about anything, you know, because it's the whole subject right now is all those theorists, you know, that doubt about the facts, you know, and it's not about just what has been happening, you know, it's about doubting about anything. So they are bringing back the 911 conspiracy, you know, and saying we should have addressed that before, you know, and not letting them do. And now this is the result, you know, we've told them enough, they are saying to the child, and now they are completely crazy doubting about everything. That's what they are saying on TV right now. It's a real war on people on internet doubting about all the shit, you know. And there is a video of storm cloud gathering. I don't know if you've already seen of them of their videos, but I'm gonna show you that. So when there was the events, you know. They have made a video to show the clip with the cops that is supposed to be killed, and you don't see any trace of blood, or his body doesn't move like it should with an AK-47 and all. And so I don't know about that video. It's a complete, how can I say? It's bogus. It's like it's intended to be bogus so that people raise doubts because I know that the cartoonists have died, you know, that there's no questions about it. But that's true that this video is really weird.
Yeah.
But again, really what's the point? Except, you know, starting a war between people that doesn't believe a shit about it and people that trust everything, you know.
Yeah. So that protest, it was indeed 3.7 million people. That's you're there. You saw it. It's true, right? I mean, there's a ton of people, but there's that photograph that went up. I even posted on my wall where they're saying that all the media is lying because they're doing you know, this close-up on the people at the forefront, but if you back up, it's only like 300 people or something. But then I saw a picture in the paper that was like a shit ton of fucking people. So,
That was amazing. I think I've never seen so much people.
Yeah, okay, it's real.
So those are two different things, though, because there's the world leaders photograph that shows the world leaders like at the head of a march. Do you think they're going to let a million people around, like, if you're the president of Israel and Germany and France all in one spot, do you think their security is going to let them be in the middle of a million people that they can't control? No fucking way.
Right.
So, of course, that photo is a staged photo op. That doesn't mean that another million people didn't gather. It just means that those are not the same thing. You don't have those 10 famous people and the million people in the street at the right. same time.
Well, they say 3.7 million people.
But you get what I'm saying.
Sure. Sure. You can't put them together. It's not possible. But yeah, they were very far from them. But that's understandable, of course.
Right. It's the way that alternative media presented that.
Sure.
Which was misleading.
Yeah, but that's the point. You know, it's really tricky to do anything right now because you might fall in a trap, and many alternative medias are just falling in that trap, you know. And by doubting about stupid things, you know, they are just making us lose credit on everything, you know.
Yeah, because I think it's actually, it is a fair point to say this photo is fake.
But why?
Because the photo is presented in all the newspapers as if those 10 people are at the front of a huge march. So in that respect, yes, the mainstream media is lying to you.
But
they're trying to present it. But it's the same way as if you go to a... Look, if you go to a celebrity event, right? If you go to, hey, Britney Spears is showed up at the screening for Room 237, right? Let's say. You know, whatever. It's a weird-ass shit, right? They take a wall with a bunch of advertisers, right? They put like a screen with a bunch of logos on it and then take their picture in front of this wall. Right? Mm-hmm. And then you might see like five people there with like their iPhones. Ooh, look, here's the fans have gathered to see Britney Spears. But I'm saying it doesn't matter if there's five people there or 500 people there or 5,000. They're always going to make it look like it's a thing. Because that's the celebrity machine. And to me, the president of Germany is nothing other than a celebrity in a suit. Right? It's a figurehead. So you take this photo and you make it look like, oh, she's doing something really important. The same way that every celebrity picture or B or C list celebrity, it looks like they're doing something important. And you assume from the photos that there's like so many people there and everyone's totally into what they're doing. But it's all a manufactured facade.
Right, because the people are protesting the people who are supposedly in the protest. Because, correct me if I don't need this to correct me because I've seen it, but though I'd never heard of these cartoonists before, and I didn't realize that I'd even seen what they had done before until I saw some of the some of the representations they've had of police state shit, and then I recognized that. I didn't recognize any of the Muslim stuff, but I'd seen those cartoons before of the armored cops that are all intense. They look like these crazy military guys, and they're making a statement about, you know, the extremist military industrial police thing.
Sure.
Which is extreme irony. I don't know if you get more ironic than that.
Sure, that's it. You know, we have a war on people that are criticizing the power, and the people that have been killed are exactly those kind of people, you know. So... yeah, that's a fucking fractal, you know. But yeah, those people were exactly this, you know, people criticizing and adopting but you know, yeah, they were not truth fighters, but sort of, yeah. And so they were really known here, and for good reasons, they were doing. You know, I was not agreeing with most of their cartoons on the caricatures and all that they do. But that's not the point. They were real fighters to be able to say what they want and to criticize the power, the religion, and everything. And what's funny is that because of their death and what happened, you know, now we are shutting the mouth of the people like them, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. Wow. It's weird. It's like the fucking elephant behind the curtain. It doesn't, and it's so obvious. I don't know how.
And what's horrible here, you know, it's to see people blind, you know. It's people you know, and you see that you can't do anything about it. You don't even start to talk because, yeah, it's so strong, and everything that goes on TV is to reinforce that separation, you know, and to clearly say, choose your side right now, you know. Either you believe it's true, either you don't, but it's the real subject right now. Even some renowned people, you know, philosophers are kind of saying that it might be secret services and stuff like that, you know. And I've never seen, you know, people other than people on the internet, you know, saying those kind of stuff, you know. So yeah, something is really happening.
Yeah, insanity is happening. I mean, it's the most obvious thing ever. I'm like, I, you know, I've been posting on this and people are calling me crazy and stuff over real basic things. I'm like, there's an ID left in a vehicle and they shouted Muslim slogans. I don't see any other evidence for them being Muslim terrorists. There's no proof, unless if you know something that I don't, because I keep asking. Like, is there any other substance other than an ID that was super conveniently found in a vehicle and shit that they were shouting?
That's crazy because, you know, I've all the evidence not all the evidence we need, but I have full of evidence that they were those guys and they killed them. And so I don't know why it's certain news are presented like that, you know, around the world, because it's like it's made to be to be not believed, you know. And you know, there are all sorts of testimonies, like someone that was knowing one of the guy really good, you know, when he saw the first video on TV with them shouting, we on a tué Charlie Hebdo, on a tué Charlie Hebdo, you know, we killed the Charlie Hebdo. He was talking, you know, to someone, and he was explaining that as soon as he heard that voice, he recognized that it was him, you know, and he was so truthful, you know, I could see it, you know, it was just a normal guy. So I'm pretty sure that it was those two guys. And I remember when it was happening, you know, I was listening to the radio, I was in the street, and the medias were trying to get the most information as possible. It was horrible, you know. They even managed to call one of the terrorists, you know, and talk with him at some point. People in the cashier, in the you know, in the last shop where there was hostages, you know, I don't know if you remember the cashier thing. They were not able to call for the police because every time they were taking the phone, it was medias calling them to try to have some testimonies while it was happening, you know.
Huh.
So yeah, that's another thing. And yes, they've managed to get him on the phone. So yeah, while I was listening, when they at the end, the two brothers ended in a how do you say, une usine. Sorry, I'm searching for the word. Well, they ended in entrepôt, enterprise. I don't know.
Yeah.
How it's called, and there there were some people that were working in the morning, and there was a testimony live, you know, while it was happening, of someone that said that he saw them in the morning, and they came to shake his hand, telling him that they didn't kill civilians, you know. So some people recognized them after seeing them on TV because they were telling everybody that it was those two people and to take care. So yeah, there is so many evidence. And during all the next days, you know, we've had so many footages and so many things, you know. It's not like the 911, because here I can't doubt about this. What I can see is that it's like they have implemented some mistakes for people to raise questions. You know?
Hmm. So what's the deal then with them being trained in Syria?
Oh, it's because there's something happening here in France. People are getting hooked up on internet, you know, based on their religious belief, and they are advertising them this place in Syria, which is supposed to be beautiful. Here they don't need to work, they receive money when they come, they fight for Allah and all that sort of stuff.
But you don't, and, I mean, it's a little suspicious because the CIA has trained.
Oh, yeah, but this is this is for sure, you know. The people that in the first place created those armies are CIA and the like.
Right, so
to
the point
clear,
is
to be clear, he's not, I think if I understand you, you're saying, yes, the CIA is still manipulating these people, but it's people, there are people who want, there are still people joining who are real people.
Oh, yeah. Real people, real family.
Real people being manipulated by real secret agents. So you have that's where it blurs, right?
Right, well. My question is like, is there any indicator that they're actually representatives of any, like...
Sure. I can tell you, you know, I have a real example that I've seen. So there are guys that were, you know, like bad guys, you know, in France, you know, doing all kind of shit, you know, stealing cars and all. Those people went there. And now they are, like... recognized there, you know, they are a sort of little boss, you know, and those people are going on internet and recruiting the French citizens that want to join them, and this is very true. This is real people, and there has been some journalists that managed to get inside the whole stuff. And even filming a little bit, you know, how it is there and what they are doing. And that's totally crazy. But it's real people. That's what I was explaining to Alan. I think that we've been pretending to fight some terrorism that is existing right now but was not existing back then, you know. So by fighting this false terrorism, we've made it existing, you know.
Right.
And now it exists. It's fucking real, and real people are going there. It can be, it was like a woman of 15 years old, you know. She managed to pass the frontiers and all to go there to join her boyfriend that she met on internet, you know, telling her to go to get there, and she bypassed her parents and went there alone like that. There are all sort of lost people, you know, that are making the trip, and they know that they can't come back because once you are there, you know, you can't come back because you could tell about where they are and what they do and all.
Is this like the next generation of Manson family?
Oh, well, that's the thing.
You know what I mean?
I do.
It's like, hey, go, let's all go join this. And like the part of me that totally gets the point of like, will you actually make it real? Is like I said, I saw that here in the U.S. with, you know, there are the same people who are saying, like, you have these Alex Jones crowds, and I don't want to, I want to be very careful. I don't want to just overgeneralize, but I'm saying I've actually met people who, okay, we're going to get together and get a bunch of guns and go train to be freedom fighters, right? To be, to fight the New World Order.
Exactly, but that's what people are doing, you know? They are just right. fed up with the war of Western countries that are invading all those countries. And when they are, when they find people having the same way to think on internet, you know, they are, they compare their life here, which is shit, with people fucking with them all the time and lying to them and letting them in their suburbs. And they decide to go and fight that shit, you know, and it's really real. And that's totally understandable. And it was meant to happen. It's like so clear, you know.
So it's provoked.
Mm-hmm. That's what I say. Instead of focusing on the if this is real or not, we should focus on, yes, it's real, and it has been engineered, you know, and it's provoked, and by adopting about those little things, we were going to do nothing, you know, about it. But if we try to find who are the responsible people in the first place, it's a better way to do something if we can do anything, you know. But
yeah, no, that's a great point. That's
we can lose so much time, you know.
So you are I saw that it is considered unlawful to protest anything pro-Palestine in France now. You can protest pro-Israel, but you can't protest pro-Palestine. I heard that there was something that you guys passed there that it's like.
I don't know about that. It seems a bit weird to me because not so long ago we've voted to say that Palestine was a state, a separate state, and we've been criticized by Israel, Netanyahu, because of that. You know?
Right, I heard that too. That's why I'm confused about. It seems like there's a lot of like contradictory things coming our way all over the place.
It's all about contradictory things nowadays, yeah, lately. And so I don't know about that, but what is sure, two things. The aggressions counter Islamist people have never been so high, you know, and they are trying not to talk too much about it on TV because they understand that it could even make it become higher, you know. But they are obliged to talk about it a bit, and it's just crazy, like 200 aggression in the last week, which is the same amount of the total of last year, you know. And so this is happening, and what was the other thing? I forgot the second point, but yeah, there are aggressions, and yeah, the second thing is now if you allow yourself to criticize anything that has been told, you know, you can face jail, you know. And there is a famous humorist here in France called Dieudonné, which has been, you know, on the line, you know, provocating people by making sometimes think he was anti-Jew and all, but I'm sure he is not, you know. He was just, he's very smart, that guy, you know, and he's provocating the French society to tell them, you know, see how you treat me, see how we can say nothing, you know, about anything, and especially about those certain stuff. And anyway, so they want to shut his mouth for a long time now. And after the events, he told on his Twitter something like, I feel like Charlie Koulibaly. So Charlie is, you know, what it is. And Koulibaly is one of the terrorists. And what he wanted to say is, as I'm black, because he is black, now I feel like Charlie because I'm in pain with what happened. But I also feel like Koulibaly because when I go in the street, you know, I see people looking at me like if I was a terrorist. Okay. So I can understand his sentence, but everybody went crazy about it, you know, and he's been arrested directly, you know, and he's facing jail. just for that sentence. So this is the country of liberty and liberty of expression where all the millions of people are going in the street like fucking stupid people. you know, it's so horrible to see all those hypocrites that I tried to talk with during so many years. Yeah,
we had here, like, I remember after 9/11, Bill Maher just got his TV show canceled. Now, I'm not, you know, Bill Maher is a controversial in his own way because he's been very, he himself has done a lot of damage to like 9/11 truth. Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm trying to speak highly of him, but just to make a point is that he lost his TV show after 9/11 for making a comment. And it was this idea that unacceptable to make this comment. And they pulled him off TV, right? At the same time, everyone's what? They hate us for our freedom, you know, that we have. We're the ones who allow freedom of speech, but then obviously we don't. You guys are living this same cycle. We're all talking about how great it is to have freedom of speech. I am Charlie, freedom of speech. But now you've gone a step further. It's not just like this, your comedian doesn't just have his career ruined, he's actually going to put him in jail for what he said. That's like, that's a whole other escalation of the same thing.
Yeah. And you couldn't have done that before, you know.
Right. It took the event to justify, even though there's no logical, like, indicator of how that would be.
And what I fear right now when I see how people are reacting, because not everybody agrees with what's happening, you know, so people are not doubting about the facts so easily. So there is not that much people that are adopting about what happened, but people are, that does not agree. There is a lot of people that don't agree, mostly Muslim people, you know. Of course, but also other people that understand that who are the people that benefits from that, you know, and people that sees that there are only hypocrite people in that story, you know. So there is a real separation, and not only with marginal people. That's what I want to say, but that's not enough clear. So I fear that a bigger event could arrive, you know, to make things really clear, you know, once and for all. Now we are in that fuzzy place, you know.
Yeah, nothing would be what it is because everything would be what it isn't.
But do you remember, so you, maybe, I know you're obviously, you're French, but you're closer to maybe an understanding of British society, when Britain had the 7/7 London bombing, seemed as if that was enough. Like, all they did was blow up one bus, right? And set off some bombs in the sub. Like, it wasn't a big deal. Like, basically, no buildings came down. It was nothing dramatic, sensational spectacle, but it was enough to get people to say, well, the terrorists have struck London. So it's like now New York, London, Paris. But the events don't need to be huge events anymore. We don't have to have airplanes crash into something. It's like, okay, someone does something stupid, it's enough. It's enough. Yeah. So do you actually think, seeing, you said that you feared maybe a bigger thing is coming, do you feel like if London, that was, I don't feel like they really needed to do anything more than that. So do you, would you say that, is it maybe, how do I say, this is might speak to like a presumption or a generalization, but is British society already more sort of in line with that kind of thinking? You know, they still have royalty and this sort of society, as opposed to, is this maybe just my bias or like my assumption, is like French society maybe more resistant to that? Does that make sense?
I don't know. What I know is that they didn't want to publish the cartoons. And so they are really different on this, you know. They don't want to rise to start a fire, you know. So they don't want to put angry their Muslim population. So yeah, they are different from us on that point. I don't know. I don't know how they see this and if it's really different from us. We've been so lucky during a lot of years, you know. And I was feeling that the next one was for us, you know. It's when you see the pattern, you know, you kind of get how it's gonna happen. So I don't think that it's totally orchestrated on the little level, you know. This is those terrorists that killed those cartoonists, but I know that it's engineered in on the bigger level, you know. And it's all following a little story, you know. And You're right. You don't need to blow up two towers to make a war on consciousness, you know.
Right. It's all in Anchorman 2. Have you seen Anchorman 2?
No.
So just what one would assume would be a really like bad like a B movie, you know. I was watching it last night. I've seen it before and I think I've even talked about it on Always Record. But it's about the degradation of news broadcasting and how, you know, relatively speaking, there was a point, you know, in the 70s where there was no 24-hour news, and you'd have a news segment. It was all really the key points of like what's going on in the world. And there's the main character, you know, the female Christina Applegate. She's Veronica Corningstone. Which immediately, like the first time I heard that, I was like, is that a reference to the cornerstone? So you have the stone that the builders rejected, you know, it's the center of Jewish mysticism. But then in that film, she literally gets rejected while having a conversation, an interview with Yasser Arafat. So she's got Yasser Arafat there, and simultaneously, fucking Will Ferrell is, Ron Burgundy is doing a, he's following a car chase. So, which is the first time that this has happened. So we didn't used to follow like, oh, this is live coverage of a car chase and everyone's attention is on like what's going to, and it's like some bullshit, you know, it's not O.J. Simpson. It's just some bullshit car chase, you know, but they take the attention from Yasser Arafat. And actually the way that they film it is really poignant because they actually leave on the screen, it says Israel ? And so it's going from the fucking cornerstone interviewing, which is the sacred feminine. That's what Shakina is, the stone that the builders rejected. So you have the feminine, you know, there with Yasser Arafat representing Israel, and then move it over to a fucking bullshit car chase. And then it's like leaving Israel hanging, you know, this issue.
And the question, so, is it real? Is real?
Yeah, totally. Is it real?
What is real?
Right. And so they keep playing with this metaphor throughout the movie, because right after that happens is when Ron Burgundy goes blind. He's the anchor man. He's symbolic of the one giving us our news, who's still a dimwit, but he's still like, you know, and so it's like as if the news went blind and he moves into a lighthouse. Lighthouses guide ships through the dark to get somewhere. So, and then they say, well, he's like, well, what can I do now? I can't be an anchor man because I'm fucking blind. And they're like, well, you could be a mystic. And so it's suggestive that the only way you're going to get your fucking get an awareness of what's happening in the world is if you look at it through like a mystical lens or whatever, and you're literally like searching around in the dark. So he's there searching around in the dark, complaining about being blind, you know, and it's just, it's, I watched that film and I was like, this is so direct. And he's made jokes before in reference to that, like when he played George Bush for his Broadway thing and he puts up a giant picture of his dick on the screen and he points up at it and he goes, that's some shock and awe right there. But Shakina, the Malkut, is literally the tip of the genitals in Kabbalah. So you could say that that might be a stretch, you know, no pun intended, but, you know, to make that connection. But in case you missed it, right before that, he makes a reference. I think he's talking about Dick Cheney or something, but he's like, that's a little Gollum character. And people would assume he's talking about Lord of the Rings, but Gollum is you know, Gollum is Hebrew. So, like, I mean, it's a creature that you create, that you write, you know, Ahmet on his forehead, you know, it's this whole thing. But I was like, dude, he's just totally making a Jewish mysticism reference here, but then tying it into politics. And sure enough, if you watch Anchorman 2, he keeps that going. One of the reasons I'm going on this tangent is I'm like, you know what, we're talking about crazy shit that's happened in the world, super serious, and this is Always Record, which is a show about synchronicity. I watched this last night. I have hesitancy to not bring it up, especially it really does feel applicable, at least artistically, because we are not getting real news, and it's so convoluted, and it's so sensationalized, and people's emotions are so triggered by what's going on that they're not able to be objective, and that's the problem. That's a big part of the problem, is just getting caught up in the emotion that's attached to it. And when you're looking at a protest of that magnitude, it's so much emotion, it's like so much fervor, you know?
And we've been taught to react like that, because of the Hollywood movies, you know, it's
conditioning.
It's a conditioning, you know, to overreact, to be malleable, you know, so that you can move real fast in a big crowd, you know.
Yeah,
all about emotions, you know. But you know, when it happened, it was like if people were empty, blank, just before, and we filled them with a reason to go in the street, and yeah, they took it and they were happy and doing their stuff, you know. That was horrible to me, really horrible, you know. Because it was proving how stupid we are, how crazy it is, and how far we are from getting together and understanding a bit of what's happening.
Yeah, it's kind of like there's a need to whenever you're looking at it, any current event, you know, it's like I always like do my best. It might not come across that way necessarily, but at least internally, I'm doing my best to remain as objective as possible. Yeah. It's just I allow myself to consider some pretty far out possibilities. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm attached to those possibilities as being what it is. It's just I just sometimes you dig into some of these things and it's appalling the stuff that actually does fit together and make sense. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, like you said, you know, sometimes the mystical point of view makes more sense than what you are being told on TV.
Right, and sometimes the mystic point of view isn't actually so mystic necessarily, because there can be practicality attached to it. And so I think people relate to mysticism is that it's something that's not, like what I just said, like that's not practical, but it often can be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit. people, they're the worst.
Yeah, totally. And you know, it seems that they didn't finish to surprise me. You know. I don't know. You know, this whole thing is making less and less sense to me. You know. Sometimes I just don't see the point of mortal people doing all that, all those stuff, you know. I can't even, you know, I understand the big families that want to rule over people during centuries, you know, but still, you know, the way it's done, it's so crazy, you know. It's more than wanting to be the king of the world. I feel like there's something more insane about it, you know.
You see what I mean? Right, it would require an insanity, because at some point you have all the power, you have all the money, you have everything you could possibly want. What would keep you to keep going to do more and to take away from more people so you can have more? There reaches a point where it really is, it's like an addiction, maybe you want to say. It's, you know, like a heroin type thing, you know. Okay, you just have to have more and more and more.
It's exactly how they come to pedophilia, in fact. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's that idea, the Norman Brown life against death idea, where capitalism itself is actually the pleasure principle is the way that gets presented, that you're like basically to satisfy your desires, you know, is the pursuit of happiness. It like translates over, what is happiness? And it's like, oh, well, having your desires fulfilled is happiness. But then if you look at that actually is mutually interdependent with a death instinct, that you're literally moving towards your own annihilation by not knowing when, it's never enough, so that it ends up destroying itself in the pursuit. You know, and so that's the only explanation I can really come up with. Beyond, because if you have everyone, their needs are met a million times over, what is the thing that's driving it? And it's because the thing that got them there into the first place, even generationally, or how is it, is this kind of like this intense will to, or ambition, you know, and the ambition doesn't know when to stop. And so it just keeps on going. It's because it's an, for lack of a better way to put it, it's like an evil tendency, albeit due to a misunderstanding or a misperception, but, you know, still nonetheless, you know, it's, if anything's evil, you know, if that term is ever going to apply to anything, you know, it seems like the elite are kind of fitting the bill for that. You know? I mean, I thought it was really interesting, you know, this idea that there was a study that was done a long time ago with crack cocaine with mice, where they gave these mice crack cocaine, and it completely went against what the consensus is around addiction, because the mice that had reasonable living situation, like they basically had all their needs met, they didn't actually develop an addiction for what was put right in front of them, whereas the ones that were struggling to survive, they couldn't get enough of it. And like it was an undeniable repeated experiment that was done. And I think that there's something to be said for that on a certain level, that people don't, you know, the thing that's lacking for these people isn't even necessarily just their comfort. That there's something major that's lacking. They have no real connection maybe to people around them. It's just there's something seriously lacking in what they have that they can't get through that means. So it just comes out in this really fucking twisted way or something. I don't know.
That's exactly that, you know. It's, you know, before they are in need of drugs, they are in need of something else before, and that's why they come to drug. And it's not the search for a mother, or, you know, it's something that puts you well in that crazy life. And yeah, it goes with a lack of happiness in the first place most of the time,
right?
You have to create that sadness, and then you bring the drug, and it's working, you know. People are just falling in it, and I don't see how else they could do, you know. It's totally understandable.
But I read the article, David, probably it was just floating around the last few days with that the rats and the cocaine. Is this something you read just recently? Because I saw it floating around.
I saw that there was a book that was written by I believe he was a professor. I came across it like at least a year ago. I mean, it could have been up to 2 years ago. I can't tell time. There was somebody who I saw presenting that happened a while ago, but it was kind of repressed, suppressed. and then, you know, there's somebody who was kind of reintroducing that discovery. Okay. And now just recently it's been re-presented. I mean, I think that that's how something like that works. It's like you need multiple people bringing the public's awareness to the issue. Because it goes against, you know, the Nancy Reagan kind of just say no campaign and kind of these really, like, limited kind of ways of looking at addiction in general. This isn't about crack cocaine. This is about the reward center in the brain and how, you know.
Sure, yeah.
There's just kind of this.
Right, I was going to say, because it seems to speak to the idea of, like, you know, there's this sort of cliched, like, didn't your mother love you enough? And I think that's what, Guillaume, you were making the joke about. You're saying it's not just that. But there is definitely, like, I think more and more where we're in a culture. I was having this conversation. Maybe I mentioned this. I don't always record. I don't remember. But I'm just going to kind of repeat this. I had a
I was not making an irony of that. I think it's one of the main reasons, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say is okay, I heard a story that some woman in Portland opened a cuddle business or something I think it's a cuddle business. So you go and you pay somebody and they'll cuddle with you for a short amount of time, right? Now, of course, it's a very new age, flaky Portland sort of type business in one respect. It also, it's easily sort of, you can see it as is it like prostitution in the sense of if I'm choosing, well, if I go there and they offer that I can cuddle with David or I can cuddle with a really cute girl, am I gonna be like, I want to pick the girl? You know, like, just no offense to you, David.
What, you don't want to cuddle?
my point is that because once if you have the option, then to me, then it doesn't become. If there's even the smallest amount of sexuality there, then it defeats the purpose. And what I was sort of saying is that as much as I could go on about specifically this business, my point was that we are in all of us, I think, particularly this day and age, everything is so sexualized that it's so hard to find non-sexual human contact, which is so essential. So we used to, maybe you would have it from your mother or grandmother, maybe from two men just being able to friends being able to embrace or shake hands or a hug or whatever, you know, these sorts of things with no level of sexuality there.
Well, it's still sexual, it's just not localized to the genitals. And well, that's the only points made by Freud that I actually resonate with.
That's interesting. So I guess, you feel free to challenge that if you want. But to me, I'm saying
there's a huge distinction still, and what your point is absolutely valid because of that.
Right. It's not. I guess you're saying like it's a pleasurable thing, but it's a different. Right. So okay, is it a? It's not sex. It's not genitally arousing. But I guess to me, I am also speaking of it in one, like maybe a harder to define sense of human contact, which you can say all human contact is pleasure, is speaking to that pleasure center. And if that's your point, I totally concede it. But I guess what I'm saying is there's something maybe even spiritual, or whatever you want to call it, of just physical. The same way that this is great to be able to speak on Skype, but if we're all in person, it adds a new level to the conversation, right? The physical presence. Now, if you could actually be physically touching, then you've gone a whole other level. But we live in a culture where, you know, like it's like, by just saying it, it sort of sounds like, oh, come on, that's so kind of homoerotic to talk about. Now we're going to be touching or whatever. We are programmed to shy away or to automatically interpret physical touching with sexuality. And I guess my whole point is to say, it's not that I want to cuddle with you guys. My point is to say, I think as society, that is leading us to be more and more isolated. That we have, there's no one. Is there anyone that you can touch physically on the shoulder, on the hand, anywhere? From a small child to a relative to another man to whomever, that someone isn't going, oh, that's inappropriate, or oh, that's gay, oh, that's whatever. We've completely removed non-sexual human contact from the equation, and I think we're all suffering from it.
Yeah, to a high degree. But dude, the irony of you saying every time you finish a Sync Quick News where you say, see you next Thursday, which automatically reminds me of see you next Wednesday, which is in every, what's his name, the guy who did Trading Places, and John Landis, is that right? Sky, all these films that he does, if you just type in See You Next Wednesday into Wikipedia, and you can see all the See You Next Wednesdays, which originally came from 2001 A Space Odyssey, but it shows up in the Kentucky Fried Movie in Feelovision or Feelorama or whatever, where people go to the theater and there's like people touching them to interact, so that it's like, you know, like when you used to play like, I'm sure other things have it now too, but like Nintendo 64 and the fucking controller will rumble, and so you feel more interactive because there's an actual physical sensation going along with what you're doing. Like the example of like Feelovision is actually the name of the movie that does that in the Kentucky Fried Movie is See You Next Wednesday. This is worth pointing out.
Guillaume, you were gonna say something. I feel like.
Yeah, it was about what you say. It's not that there is sex everywhere. There is porn everywhere, you know. It's even more than sex. And to me, it's the total weapon of mass division, you know.
Yeah.
It's exactly this, you know. And that's, I don't know if it's tied to our species, but... it's the sex and the jealousy and all those kind of stuff brings you so much stress, you know, and it's all about that now in our society, and you're always stressed and comparing yourself to someone else, and you're right, it's all about it's sex and male female and yeah, comparison all the time, you know.
I see it from both sides, because I really feel like a lot of the things that we're putting a charge on is the problem. If you can look in the past and see the same problem still existing, and maybe not even to a great, like, it might even be to a greater degree. I don't really know, because there's kind of this inevitable amnesia that happens just with generations progressing and people coming out of people. And, like, I don't know. As far as like, and what the neuroticisms that extend from repression, you know, but I think the biggest issue with that is just the removal from the physical contact and people then feeling more alien towards people that they're actually, like, there's that side to it. That's the biggest problem I see with it, actually, is just the kind of pretending to connect but not actually connecting, or like, you know, creating a replication of what it would be to connect when it comes to pornography. But at the same time, I think that the mystery of sex and the way that seems so important in development and non-exposure and stuff, and especially for children, I'm obviously not speaking to pedophilia, but I'm saying in terms of like not knowing what's what, I don't really know what's more dysfunctional. I mean, I can't really take an ultimate position there. The mystery of sex, you know, like if you discover what sex is about when you're 13 years old or 14 years old, I don't necessarily know if that's better than finding out when you're 8. I mean, it's like the fucking Santa Claus thing. I think Santa Claus is fucked up, you know, where you're like, oh, my parents were misleading me.
Yeah.
Or everyone's misleading me. Everyone's in on a secret joke, and it's really just my fucking dad, and it's everybody's dad. Fuck you. It's like this very like smile thing that's very like, you know, almost sacred. Like, oh yeah, Santa Claus. Like, you know, the way that they do this, it's like you're lying to your and kids. And also like sheltering. I don't always know what's most appropriate. There's a lot of things that are just so commonplace in society that it's just a given that this is the wholesome way to go about it. And I'm not exactly sure. I think witnessing people that have no love between them fucking isn't the best way to communicate that. It's the worst way to communicate that. But at the same time, I don't know. I don't know. You know,
yeah, I'm not anti-porn. I should just make that clear. I'm not completely, I don't know. It's a very complicated subject. I wouldn't take any kind of stance against, because to me, again, you know, pornography, to me, this also comes under a level of, it's not a one-size-fits-all type thing. I guess I just want to sort of say that, is to say I don't think it's inherently wrong. I also don't think it's inherently good, just whatever.
Yeah. Totally.
But you would agree that what's wrong is to force people to like that or that, you know. You know, I'm not against porn at all, you know, when you discover it by yourself or don't discover it, as David was pointing, you know. But here, you know, it's when you are just fed with this, as you are not asking in the first place. I can see it with my stepdaughter, you know, on TV, you know, just when she comes back from the school, it's so horrible, and it's so hard to make her shut the TV, because you know, she's gonna do it once, twice, you know, but then you have to do it all the time, say it all the time. It's just not possible. And if you stop completely the TV, then she talks with her friends that tell her that she's different and all. You know, it's really tricky, you know, to have an influence on the child's nowadays. But yeah, it's just, you know, I feel like an old closed mind guy, you know. But when I see what she's watching, you know,
I'm with you.
It's horrific.
Yeah. I couldn't believe, you know, in one respect, I went, oh God, so this was, I'm dating the story, but, you know, it's really popular for people to hate on Miley Cyrus, Illuminati, blah, 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 all that Mickey Mouse shit. But I mean, I don't have kids. And I remember, I guess so this is probably, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. I don't know, whenever Hannah Montana was really like popular, before it was Miley Cyrus, when it was still Disney, like kid stuff.
She was much.
And I remember like going to this, my cousin's daughter's birthday party. And so it's this little girl's birthday party, and everything this kid got was Hannah Montana. And I was just looking at all, like, so you're just like, it's everywhere. The plate you're eating off of has fucking Miley Cyrus's face on it. The, you know, the wrapping paper, the balloons, everything. And I'm just like, this was like a little kid, but the thing was very, like, all very sexualized. And I'm like, this is really inappropriate. I just felt the whole thing was so obviously inappropriate. But, like I said, so that's like a popular, like, now we all accept that. Especially within, you know, a sort of conspiracy crowd, but then we just keep repeating the cycle. So it's one thing to go, oh, look what happened to Miley Cyrus, but then no one bats an eye when some next pop princess comes out and people start buying the shit for their kids again. Oh, my kid is so in love with Taylor Swift or whatever. I'm a fucking old geezer. I don't fucking know what the names are.
I can see that by your profile pic here.
But I'm saying, like, so yes, I get you. Like, it's really hard. I see it if I'm with, like, my niece or these other kids. And it's like, wow, it's really hard to keep that from them. Then there's the idea of, again, I don't necessarily want to shelter, but sort of challenging all these thoughts, it's all very complicated. But what I'm saying is, to me, again, it's this sort of thing of, so if you have to face it, is there a way to do it consciously without just being like, hey, 6-year-old kid, let's talk about what you're seeing on TV. Like, that's probably in a weird, that's probably weird too, you know? It's like the whole thing. I realized in the last few years, like, it hit me very clearly that I, when I am around animals, like, I am so affectionate. Like, I'll walk into a room and I see, like, I'm meeting somebody for the first time in their house, and oh, there's all, like, people talking, and there's a dog there. I go and I sit on the floor and play with the dog. And I, you know, just fucking enjoy it so much. And the dog's, you know, sits in your lap, and the dog licks your face, and it's all just, like, fun and whatever. And I realized, this was what I was talking about, this idea of, like, non-sexual affection that with any human being, you couldn't show even a fraction of this without it being misconstrued.
Right. Well, why, right? Why is this applicable? I mean, like, I'm looking at a bunch of people gathered together for a cause, an insane amount of people, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, they have a common cause because of a common enemy. It's the enemy, the fear of the enemy, that brings the people together, because as they're together, they feel safe because they feel strong in their numbers. And it translates completely over, because the way that the internet works is there's a removal from your neighbor, even though it's meant to connect. That's the idea. It's the fucking interweb. It's a, you know, it's a net that's connecting everything. But simultaneously, the way it's like, you know, social media is very similar to driving in a car, where you're dealing with all these people coming, but there's, like, road rage, and people will go the fuck off. I hesitate when some of my favorite videos on YouTube that relate to anything conspiracy-oriented or anything to even look at the fucking comments, because I can see that there's so much aggression, and it stirs things up in people, but they wouldn't do that, most likely, if there was inflection. Like, it, you know, if you're communicating with someone in person, like, well, I was saying, I had this friend kind of come at me the other day, kind of putting my ideas down and what I do, even though he's not really familiar with what I do, because he didn't know that I did a radio show, you know. But I'm looking at that, I'm like, and I told the guy, I was like, inflection is completely lost right now. Like, if we were having this conversation in person, you'd most likely see where I was coming from, you know. But just that energetic, where there's like, they're like fucking aliens to people. And there's no, their people don't, are, they're so immersed in their own personal culture that they can't recognize and appreciate another culture. And people will make comments too. The same people that are with that will say that everything's one, or like, you know, they'll kind of like these concepts around unity of all beings or whatever. But there's all kinds of like weird racist shit that comes out even more so under certain, and if they're put in the right circumstances, you know, or the wrong circumstances, you know. And so, I don't know. I wanted to speak to that, because I feel like we went in this certain direction talking about sexuality and porn and all this stuff. And why is that applicable to what's going on? Well, I mean, I think we all know that and understand that. But I feel like it's worth pointing out that it's extremely applicable, because it has to do with it's hard to have emotional intelligence when you're not actually communicating in any personable way. You know, like, it doesn't breed emotional intelligence to feel removed and isolated. And if you're staring at your fucking phone all the time,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to feel fucking connected. It's just the two kind of seem like they're...
And even when we're connecting in ways that aren't, like we're not arguing with each other, we're not having the road rage, but very often we would still be connecting on an intellectual level or something like that, right?
Sure.
So...
Well, there's the nature versus nurture thing, right? I mean,
No, but just to clarify, I guess what I'm saying is, like, when we say, how do you, it's the ways in which you're allowed to relate. Not necessarily allowed, it's how we, it's, I want to say it's the nature of interaction through social media or whatever. And I don't, you can call this a conspiracy if you want. I don't even mean it that way. I'm just saying, like, the way in which the end result is that we end up relating either the guy is going to come on online and he's going to challenge whatever belief you put on your Facebook soapbox or vice versa. Or I'm saying you don't have to have a challenge, even the agreement, or if you can have a seemingly intelligent conversation. Is my point is that you're still relating, for the most part, on an intellectual or a cerebral level. Does that make sense? What I'm saying, it's still the physicality and emotional connection. Beyond just the physical connection, the emotional connection is often removed, and I guess that's what I'm saying. It's very cerebral.
Yes. Yeah. Like most of our life.
It's all sense oriented, right?
It's all computer and but yeah. It's like the transformation from the human beings with emotions. Like now, emotions are useless. We need performance and quantification. I don't know what we say, but quantification.
Yeah, well, you know what? We made up the whole language to begin with, so don't worry about it.
But yeah, and again, you know, some certain you know, always when I think about this is at what level are we really responsible, you know, who's responsible of what, and what's the part of mind control, in fact, you know. So because if you think that inevitably, this is humans, and humans are at that point because they are like that, you know, then it's pretty sad, and there's maybe nothing to do about it. But that's not what I think. I see so many ways that people are trying to control others, you know. Some people are trying to control others, which means that they are scared about them not being controlled. Which right. means that there is something to do. But it's, you know, the more we go and the more it's going to be harder, because it's stronger and stronger, and you got to get those people so deep, you know, from so deep. Yeah, that's really tricky.
like to be the best.